Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/Savage Premium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm, from 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/Savage Premium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Michael Savage Podcast. We continue my perspective and that of many people in the medical profession who have been silenced, canceled, shut up, turned out and told to go away by big marijuana. I'm going to go forward by going backwards. Great article by a Blaine Cooper in the Star Tribune entitled Legal Marijuana Will Lead Us to a Brave New World. It's a couple of years old, and the individual, Blaine Cooper, writes this, published in 1932, Huxley's Brave New World, has tantalized readers ever since with its frightening prediction of the future. In order to keep the masses in line, the totalitarian government of Brave New World gives its citizens soma, A chemical designed to provide a calming and euphoric effect. People are urged to take Soma whenever they feel any negative emotion and thus are kept docile. They don't rebel against their tyrannical government because they're too doped up to care. The Soma that Huxley imagined in 1932, writes the author, bears a striking resemblance to a certain real-world drug today, marijuana. We can see how critical the banning of mind-altering drugs is to keeping a society free when we look back at Brave New World, and we see that the legalization of recreational marijuana across the United States is altering Americans' vision of themselves and of the nation. He writes that smoking weed is often associated with rebellion and counterculture, but in reality, it's really a useful method of controlling and oppressing the masses, especially the poor. In Brave New World, a rigid class system shapes society. The lower classes do all the menial jobs and are issued a dose of Soma at the end of each workday. Their existence consists of waking up, working, getting high, and doing it all over again. Does that sound familiar to those of you listening to this show? The American poor are disproportionately responsible for using marijuana. And their lives, writes the author, are quickly turning into the working, getting high, doing it again the next day cycle. Many Americans use marijuana simply to relax at the end of a hard day. But this still reinforces a cycle that rewards subservience and apathy. Now, why is this a problem? Why is this a problem? It's a problem because people are lazy by nature. They like to just be docile. And the author concludes the article by saying the change will be slow but nearly inevitable. Why would the citizens in Brave New World have any motivation to improve their lives when all of their problems are solved with their daily dose of Soma? It becomes nearly impossible for them to be upset. Get the picture? One other article from a publication entitled LitHub. Aldous Huxley foresaw America's pill-popping addiction with eerie accuracy. And the authors write this: Soma is not a drug of the people, but of the state, and the authoritarian state at that. But the crown jewel of Huxley's dystopia, the linchpin which secures its infallibility, is a brave new psychopharmacological wonder drug, Soma, which chemically fills in any and all remaining cracks in the state's meticulously bioengineered ideological armor. For social stability in this new society does not become practically assured until AF, after Ford, 178, when, quote, 2,000 pharmacologists and biochemists were subsidized to produce the perfect drug, Soma, an all-purpose psychotropic drug with tranquilizing, anti-anxiety, sedative, hypnotic, stimulant, psychedelic, and antidepressant properties all rolled into one. Sound familiar? So if anything unpleasant should somehow happen in Brave New World, there was always Soma to give them a holiday from the facts. And there was always Soma to calm their anger, to reconcile them or you to your enemies, to make you patient and long-suffering. In the old days, you could only accomplish these things by making a great effort, and after years of hard moral training. Now, you swallow 2 or 3 half-gram tablets, and there you are in Brave New World. The authors conclude by writing this: ultimately, however, Huxley's novel depicts not a utopia, but a dystopia. Huxley may describe a world in which all quotidian troubles are chemically ameliorated through perfectly designed, infallible psychotropic pills, but that does not mean that he advocates for such a world. And here's the punchline. On the contrary, Huxley depicts Soma as a destructive crutch which props up the authoritarian state by creating docile, directionless, and even dehumanized citizens incapable of feeling or expressing, much less living, the full range of human emotions, especially any that might be considered dangerous or subversive. People are cocooned in a state of chemically induced stupor, and Huxley's characters lack ambition, curiosity, or even any meaningful understanding of the human experience. They're addicts. They're just addicts. Now, in America, we're seeing outbreaks of violence, random violence at that, and we're never allowed to ask what drugs or chemicals the perpetrators may or may not have been on. Again, many of you will knee-jerk jump to the statement that I'm proposing you use alcohol. I am not. But I am telling you that marijuana provokes impulses that are very hard to control in many people, as any addict will tell you after they've been in recovery. And that's all I have to say about this war of the lies coming out of Hollywood and the government about how healthful marijuana is. After 50 or so years of telling us it was the most dangerous drug on earth, now they're telling us it's the most healthful drug on earth. Okay? And in this podcast that you're about to hear, which was done back in February 18th of 2021, I did a thing on the pure science of marijuana, the joys and medical dangers. And that includes things about the chemistry and pharmacology and effects on different regions of the mind and body. I explained what is CBD and THC, how cannabinoids act, the methods of consumption and negative health effects of THC. I read from the many scientific studies which expose the dangerous effects. And I state that states should decriminalize and control the substance because it's proven to be addictive. I also discuss the positive effects of CBD and how weed is made to appear harmless to control the population in the same manner as the Chinese were once controlled by opium, which was dumped on China by the British to control the Chinese. I hope you enjoy today's podcast, and I hope you give it a fair chance, and I hope you share it, especially with young people. I'm Michael Savage. Thanks for listening.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently they dance, innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell. In this film, you will see the ease with which this vicious plant can be grown in your neighbor's yard, rolled into harmless-looking cigarettes, hidden in an innocent shoe or watch case. Debauchery, violence, murder, suicide, and the ultimate end of the marijuana addict. Hopeless insanity.
All right, so we're all having a good laugh, laughing at these 1930s anti-marijuana sound bites that the U.S. government put out. But, you know, maybe your grandfather or great-grandfather was not wrong. We know where there's smoke, there's harm. We know there's a lot of marijuana abuse. Just ask addiction centers. We know there's a physiological addiction to marijuana. It is very addictive. People become dependent upon it. We know that there's psychological harms. We know that there's a danger to society from this wholesale pushing of medical marijuana. Now, again, is marijuana harmful? Here's an interesting thing that I'm going to tell you. In order to get any negatives on marijuana today, you have to go way back in the medical literature, because I'm talking about the science literature. You can't find it anymore. It's been denuded from the literature, and there's no new money being put into the dangers of marijuana, because the industry has now taken over science. They're funding all the science showing you how great it is. What about the potential social harms as a result of legalizing marijuana for medical uses? Remember I told you it was George Soros who first put $1 million into California and $1 million into Arizona to legalize marijuana. And I was the only one in the media saying, no, watch out, they want to legalize marijuana. Again, I want marijuana decriminalized. I don't want seeing people in jail for smoking marijuana. On the other hand, there have to be some very serious controls and a tremendous educational campaign in our schools. Now, we all know tobacco smoking is detrimental, and we know that marijuana is free of nicotine. But we know that smoke of any kind pollutes the lungs. We all know that. That's common sense. But what about marijuana joints themselves? Marijuana joints deliver at least four times as much tar to the lungs as tobacco cigarettes of equivalent weight. Let me repeat that, all of you potheads. Marijuana joints deliver four times as much tar to the lungs as tobacco cigarettes of equivalent weight. Just put that into your pipe and smoke it. Just remember that, okay? Clinical studies teach us that people who smoke marijuana are more likely to develop respiratory illnesses than non-smokers. How do we know that? Why? A survey of outpatient medical visits at a large health maintenance organization, HMO, found that marijuana users were more likely to seek help for respiratory illnesses than people who smoke neither marijuana or tobacco. Okay? Now, I want to go back for a minute. This is a study I'm quoting from a few years ago. Actually, you can't find these anymore. And it's something that came out of the NCBI, NIH, a number of years ago. And you have to go back quite a few years to find these things because I said that they're not funding this anymore. It's a very long study. And I don't want to read it all to you, but I want to give you some cautionary tales here, some real cautionary tales. And I'm doing the work for you. Okay. Again, I'm not selling you on drinking beer or drinking wine or drinking alcohol. Okay. It's not either or, it's both and. How about respiratory illnesses from marijuana? How about this stuff with COVID that we hear about all the time? It definitely increases your risk of lung damage. And so in this study done by the NIH a number of years ago, it was done with marijuana smokers who consume 3 to 4 joints a day. And compared with tobacco smokers who smoked an average of 20 cigarettes a day. Of course, most people don't smoke like that anymore. But people who smoke both dope and tobacco reported no more symptoms of chronic bronchitis overall than those who smoke tobacco alone. So smoking marijuana, according to this study, did not increase the harms caused by smoking tobacco, did not increase it alone. But there was an interaction. There was an interaction. And this study was done on people who smoked less marijuana and tobacco than those who participated in the previously described study. This may be a little confusing. Use common sense here. Even a light amount of marijuana with tobacco is very dangerous. You say, well, I don't do tobacco. I only do marijuana. Okay. Well, just know that in either case, marijuana smoke reduces respiratory function. Okay, so you take a gummy. Or you get it some other way. So you say, I'm safe. I don't care. I just did a whole piece on the dangers of THC itself. But now I want to stick to the dangers of smoking marijuana again. Okay? Bronchial injury. Greater among people who smoke both marijuana and tobacco. Damages the interiors of bronchial cells. They develop a variety of abnormalities. And some of these abnormalities are known to be precursors of cancer. And these have been seen in the respiratory tracts of marijuana and hashish smokers who did not use tobacco, just the dope alone. We see a lot of ads on TV for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, a slow progressive loss of elasticity in the passage that delivers air to the lungs. People with COPD become short of breath, and they show symptoms of chronic bronchitis. Now, when the scientists try to determine whether marijuana smoke also provokes COPD, they got conflicting results. I'm giving you the truth here. I'm not going to just say it's all bad. Conflicting results. One group reported that smoking as little as a single joint a day impaired small airway function, while another study failed to detect similar damage even in people who smoked 4 joints a day for more than 10 years. So the doctor is out on whether chronic marijuana smoking actually causes COPD, but the scientists conclude there's good reason to suspect that it does. Okay? Be concerned. Be cautious. Many of the carcinogenic or cancer-causing compounds found in tobacco are also found in burning marijuana. Unfiltered smoke from joints contains higher concentrations of chemicals called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs, than does smoke from tobacco cigarettes. Let me pause there. Smoke from joints actually has higher concentrations of a class of chemicals called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons than the smoke from tobacco cigarettes. So right away, you potheads are saying, yeah, but I use a bong. I smoke it through water like the Arabs do. Good for you. How'd that work out for them? Sitting on the behinds for a thousand years in a tent, smelling camel dung. Cut that out. Cut that out, Michael. No jokes here. Okay. Let's keep going on. Research found that marijuana smokers' lung cells contain higher levels of an enzyme that converts those polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons into a cancer-causing form. So some studies show that marijuana or implicate that marijuana smoking is a risk factor for lung cancer, as well as for mouth and throat cancer. Mouth and throat cancer. Other studies show that marijuana smokers are at greater risk than non-smokers of developing cancers in tissues that come into contact with smoke, such as the lungs, mouth, larynx, pharynx, and esophagus. Okay? So I can give you one study after another, and you're going to laugh at it anyway if you're a pothead. I'll tell you something about marijuana and marijuana users. They tend to deny any negative associations with their addictive drug. Every time I did this subject on the radio over the years, they would get very defensive and say, well, who says alcohol is good for you? You're trying to push alcohol pops? No, I'm not pushing anything. If you want to learn, listen. If you don't want to learn, then don't listen to this podcast. Go get high, moron. What about the carcinogenicity of marijuana? Well, it's common sense that marijuana smoke will damage the cells. Very well done. If you look at the cellular level, there's strong evidence it contains that marijuana smoke contains carcinogens. Exposure to marijuana smoke was shown to cause chromosomal damages that precede cancer. Write that one down. Marijuana smoke was shown to cause chromosomal changes that precede cancer, and in some cases, outright malignancies, both in isolated human and animal lung cells. Similar changes were seen in the actual lung cells of marijuana smokers, and even higher levels were seen amongst those who smoked both marijuana and tobacco. Again, pregnant women, studies were done in them. You're not going to believe this. It's a very sad one. This is a big one. What happens to the blood cells taken from pregnant women who were exclusive smokers of marijuana and from the blood taken from their babies after they were born? Pay close attention, women. There's a class of white blood cells called lymphocytes, and researchers found significantly more DNA aberrations of a type linked to cancer development as compared with lymphocytes from non-smoking women and their newborns. In earlier studies, the same group of scientists found similar changes in the DNA of tobacco smokers, which shows that substances responsible for this damage are present in both marijuana smoke and tobacco smoke.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
You want me to go on to cannabinoids? It's a long study. Marijuana abuse. How about abuse and addiction? Let me move on to addiction. And if you're a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or a wife or a husband of someone addicted to marijuana, then cut this section out and play this for your mate or your child. Let me explain something to you. All you got to do is ask addiction centers about people who've enlisted or been sent to addiction centers because they're addicted to marijuana and can't kick it. It's that simple. Let's make it real simple. Okay. Because there's a physiology of use and abuse. Even marijuana users who do not fit the DSM-4 criteria for abuse or substance dependence will show symptoms of tolerance, physical dependence, and withdrawal. What is tolerance? What is physical dependence, and what is withdrawal? Do you want to know this or not? I'll make it simple. Tolerance, it's a common response to the repeated use of any drug, and it happens when increasing amounts are required to produce a given effect. Physical dependence describes the body's adaptation to frequently used drugs. You're dependent on it. And physical dependence often leads to substance abuse. If someone who is physically dependent on a drug stops taking it, that person is likely to experience withdrawal symptoms. Mm-hmm. Most drugs that are abused produce tolerance, physical dependence, and withdrawal. But also, this happens with caffeine and nicotine, as well as many non-addictive drugs for pain, anxiety, and high blood pressure. We know that. Try to give up coffee if you've been a lifetime coffee drinker, right? For example, if people who take the medication propranolol for hypertension, propranolol, I don't know how to pronounce it. I've used it myself when I've had arrhythmia after my heart attack. I took it from time to time. I used it to control my heart rate because it's a beta blocker. But if you're taking this drug for hypertension and you abruptly stop taking the drug, you're going to experience withdrawal symptoms, which could include a rise in blood pressure. And to avoid those problems, doctors tell those patients to gradually decrease their dose of this drug before switching to a different hypertension drug. But let's get back to marijuana. Regular marijuana users quickly develop tolerance to most of the drug's effects. Okay? If users go without marijuana for a week or so, they lose their tolerance to its effects. Now, this is interesting. Tolerance to different effects of the same drug can develop at varying rates. Heroin users, for example, become tolerant to the drug's euphoric effects more quickly than they do to its ability to interfere with breathing, because they tend to increase the amount of drug they take in order to attain the same high. Heroin users risk death by asphyxiation. Now, according to any science I've read, marijuana users have never been seen to die of an overdose, but they could wind up in an emergency room. Emergency rooms are now filling up with people who've taken too much THC. Increased heart rate, anxiety, paranoia, fear, and they're in the emergency room. Just remember what I just said to you. Again, you're not going to read this or see this anywhere, because the marijuana industry right now is all powerful and the governments are rushing to get into the business. Now, this applies, by the way, to people who take oral THC or smoke it. You will become tolerant to some of the drug's effects more quickly than to other drugs, according to the studies I have read. I'm going to give you one study for those of you who are doubting Thomas's. One group of patients or participants smoked marijuana cigarettes four times a day for four consecutive days, while the other group took THC pills on the same schedule. This is for those of you who use gummies, okay? Both groups thought that the same amount of drug made them feel less and less high over the course of 4 days. But neither of these groups thought that their drug-induced increases in appetite declined over that time, right? The marijuana smoking group reported feeling mellow after smoking throughout the 4 days, while the THC-taking group never reported feeling mellow. That's interesting. Why? I don't know. Maybe that's an association. And I'm just telling you, use common sense here. Research will show you that THC produces tolerance in your brain. And there's many studies on this, and I don't want to talk about their effects on CB1 and CB2 receptors. Cannabinoids have a desensitizing effect on other proteins and target cells as well. Just be careful. Because withdrawal from either marijuana or THC has been shown to cause several distinct symptoms. Very distinct symptoms. Do you want to hear them? Pay close attention. Tell me if this applies to you when you try to kick marijuana or THC. Restlessness, irritability, mild agitation, insomnia, sleep disturbance, nausea, cramping. Again, these are very, very disturbing symptoms, and they're far milder than the symptoms associated with alcohol withdrawal, for sure. But I'm not pushing alcohol. Very high doses of oral THC. Oral THC, not the cigarette. The equivalent amount of smoking between 5 and 10 joints of average potency a day for 10 to 20 days. That's a high amount. Produced withdrawal symptoms, which included runny nose, sweating, decreased appetite, but lasted only 4 days. Okay? I'm going to move on now, because many of you think marijuana is harmless. Again, the only evidence I can offer you, because you're not listening to a word I'm saying to most of you potheads, ask emergency room doctors how many people are coming in from marijuana overdose symptoms. And we know what it does to your appetite, so therefore you know it's having a physiological effect on you. We know that from animal studies that dopamine levels rise in response to feelings of sexual attraction and when eating sweet foods, which is why chocolate is so popular. So I think I've given you enough for right now. I've talked about dependence, the dangers amongst younger people, and I think that that's enough, because any more, I think you're going to turn off. Just know this. Marijuana carries a risk of dependence and abuse. Just remember that. And that's whether it's smoked or taken in another form, right? Again, I'll give you another caveat, though. Compared with alcohol and tobacco and several prescription medications like the opioids, marijuana's abuse is relatively small compared to those, just to put it in context. That doesn't mean it's good for you, right? But what about the psychological drawbacks, the psychoactive effects of marijuana? It's said to reduce anxiety, cause sedation and euphoria. It may, in some people it does. That's why they use it. It's a paradox. It is a paradox. That's why so many people use medical marijuana. And so people say it's very good. Good for you. If you're an older person who's using it for pain management, good for you. But if you're using it as a recreational drug, because it gives you a temporary sense of well-being or euphoria, good for you getting high. You get more talkative. You be easier to talk to people because it suppresses short-term memory and learning. And what you don't know is you're talking gibberish. People under the influence of marijuana generally cannot carry an intelligible conversation. They sound like the average Democrat voter. Those who think that Biden is a savior.
I know a lot of weed smokers.
Those who like to see people ruling by executive order. They're perfect for the Biden vote. Now, I don't want to get too political here. Again, I want to tell you again, the emergency rooms are filled with people who come in with terrible anxiety, paranoia, panic attacks, depression, depersonalization, delusions, illusions, hallucinations, especially from the new marijuana that's out there, which is many times more powerful than that smoked in the 1960s and 70s. You ever have any of these symptoms? Huh? Anxiety, paranoia, panic attacks, depression, depersonalization, delusions, illusions, and hallucinations? No, you haven't? Well, you're very lucky. Because large doses of marijuana impair cognition. This was looked at by scientists using imaging techniques called positron emission tomography, PET scans. And they measured the acute effects of marijuana on brain functions. And they saw blood flow abnormalities in volunteers after they smoked a single marijuana cigarette. Specifically, the circulation to the temporal lobe of the brain, which governs auditory attention, were restricted. I wonder why people listen to music when they're high. And this effect coincided with diminished performance in listening tasks. But here's something interesting. Smoking marijuana seemed to increase, not decrease, blood flow to the brain's frontal lobes and lateral cerebellum. Sounds complex. The frontal lobes control a variety of cognitive functions, including, interesting, abstract thinking, but they're also involved in motor control and emotional reactions. So in other words, marijuana appears to increase blood flow to those lobes in the brain that affect abstract thinking and also involve motor control and emotional reactions, which is why artists sometimes use it, right? I would not suggest that you use it if you're an artist, but some do. Other structural changes in the brain were seen, which I won't bore you with. Attention span diminished. Muscular coordination is diminished, such as that required for driving. Okay? And I want you to understand that. A study of experienced airplane pilots showed that their performance on flight simulator tests was impaired for as long as 24 hours after smoking a single joint. And here's something interesting. Prior to taking the test, the pilots told investigators that they were sure their performance would not be affected. Thank God there's drug testing required for pilots. That's all I can say. Because marijuana impairs cognitive and psychomotor performance. Be very careful about that. No one under the influence of marijuana or THC should drive a vehicle or operate potentially dangerous equipment. I only wish there were more road checks for driving while stoned. I mean, I'm glad we have driving tests for alcohol use. Well, oh, thank God for that. I'd love to see them doing flash tests for marijuana and driving. Very important, especially with the pushing of marijuana right now. I want to conclude with one other thing for those of you who have seen the psychological effects of marijuana on themselves, because you're probably a high-strung person, highly intelligent. Do you know that there are clinical reports in many emergency rooms of marijuana-induced states that mimic psychosis such as schizophrenia, depression, and mania, and these symptoms can last a week or more? Be careful. There's a thing called marijuana psychosis. And I'm not going to make any jokes, because amongst some sensitive people, marijuana use can induce a psychosis characterized by symptoms which include confusion, amnesia, delusions, hallucinations, anxiety, and agitation. Okay? It's very important that you understand this, because drug abuse is very common among people with mental illness who are trying to self-medicate. We've heard that 1,000 times. A lot of heroin addicts say that they're just treating themselves for their illness. It's a sad truth. And a disproportionately large number of people with schizophrenia use marijuana. It only makes them worse, much worse. People with schizophrenia prefer the effects of marijuana over those produced by alcohol and cocaine. I don't know if you know that. I don't know why. It may give them some relief from the symptoms. But I just want to warn you that people with schizophrenia or a family history of the disease should recognize that using marijuana puts you at a greater than average risk for adverse psychiatric reactions. You want the euphoria? Be careful. Just be very careful. So medical marijuana itself, is it a danger to society? I'll let you decide. Is it a gateway drug to cocaine or heroin or other dangerous drugs? For sure. Absolutely. Because it's the most widely used drug out there. And it's the first one that most people encounter, including users who later turn to other illicit substances. Warn your child that before having that joint at a party, there are very real dangers to their lungs, to their brain, to their heart, and to their future. Be very aware of that.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
London's Hyde Park becomes a hippie festival as some 3,000 so-called flower children gather to preach love, peace, and legalized pot. Marijuana to us. The colorful, chaotic congregation use posters to plead their cause. A confiscated accordion used to accompany Buddhist chants and a speedily removed smoke bomb were the only incidents. The nonviolent demonstration brought stares, gasps, and chuckles. And this just has to be the living end.
Now, I've given you all the negatives, but I want to talk about the positives for a minute. When properly used in a medical setting, not to get high, marijuana affects the body and mind in powerful ways. And aside from the damage caused by smoking marijuana, taking it in another way, I don't think you have to worry about it that much, especially if you're an older person using it to treat pain. There are potential good uses of cannabinoids to relieve the symptoms of several specific conditions, and I've told you that earlier. I'm just giving you the caveats and the warnings that you should know, because there are very real dangers, especially for the young. This is the Michael Savage Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this, you can do some research on your own. Because now that medical marijuana is the thing, the children are going to latch onto it and say, if it's good for my grandfather's arthritis, it must be good for me. Nothing could be further from the truth, because I could do an entire podcast on the effects of marijuana and or THC on the developing brain, which is wholly different than using marijuana to reduce pain for people who are suffering. You know, in concluding this podcast on the joys and dangers of marijuana, I want to add something to this, what you said about this topic on Twitter, because I posted this before I did this podcast, and I said this: should my next podcast be on the joys and dangers of marijuana? the medical and psychological dangers. Not a moral issue for me. Much medical literature on the very real damage done by the active principle THC, especially to developing brains. So people are saying things like, yes, discuss marijuana versus opioids, pros and cons. Another one said, THC ruined my life and left me mentally ill. I always wanted to call in and share with you my story and how THC degraded me. You hear this? Another one said, smoke a joint first before you speak on it. And I answered him, I said, I did for many years. It is a toxic poison to high IQ people, excellent for dummies. And he said, didn't know that, and I think you're right. I'll be sure to tune in. So you see, it's interesting about Twitter. People just shoot their mouths off. Another gentleman wrote, I know for a fact that pot wrecks adolescent male brains. Oldest son never touched it and is in medical school now. Younger sons, not so much. You hear this? Another person said, I agree with developing brains. I smoked zero marijuana until I was like 25 years old. Probably should have then, but it does help with the creativity if you're already a creative person. Another one says, if you aren't creative, it won't magically make you creative, which is 100% true. Another one says, a phrase comes to mind, personal liberty. If my actions affect another in no tangible way, how the hell is it your business? Decriminalization of all drugs and the stupidity and the money pit. Well, didn't I say that already? I said decriminalize it. Just shows you how defensive they get. I said decriminalize marijuana, right? So my friends, the bottom line is marijuana was dumped on America by very evil left-wing forces. It started with legalized medical marijuana. We're not talking about legalizing it for everyone. They were lying. It's equivalent to what was done to the population in China by the British when they dumped opium on the Chinese and addicted the entire nation of China to opium. It was only when the Boxer Rebellion occurred and the British were kicked out of China and the opium bales burned at the wharves that were being shipped into China that the Chinese people were able to free themselves of this dangerous drug. I hope it takes this country less than 100 years to understand what was done to them by the left-wing forces that pushed this down the throats of our children under the guise of saving the nation. Thank you for listening to the Michael Savage Podcast. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.